Well, good morning, church. My name is Dalton Baker. I'm the high school director here, and it is a special Sunday. We get to celebrate our seniors as they're about to launch into this next phase of life after high school. I want to say this, it is a privilege of mine to walk alongside young people, high schoolers, as they get to know the word more and they fall more in love with God. I also want to say this, shameless plug here is that if you want to get involved, if you want to walk alongside high schoolers, if you want to disciple junior high or high school students, find me, find Lauren after. We would love to get you plugged in. We always need help in GSM, and you're really investing in the next generation who will be who are the future of the church, which is so cool. Again, I'm grateful for this opportunity to speak, to celebrate our seniors. My hope and my prayer is that what I'm about to say really takes root in these seniors' life, is that they remember what I'm going to say, because later on I know that they're going to face something hard or they're going to face a battle and they need to know this truth. And for the rest of us in here today, I hope that this is a good reminder, or if this is the first time you're hearing it, that this is an encouragement to you. So what is this thing I'm going to tell you? What is this groundbreaking truth I want you to remember? It's this. You have an enemy. You have an enemy. You have an enemy whose sole goal in life is to make sure you end up in a place of death and destruction, in hell. You have an enemy that wants to take every opportunity to pull you away from Christ and distract you from the things of God. Peter warns us in 1 Peter 5:8 about our adversary. And so whether we like it or not, whether it's something that we want to happen or not, we have an enemy. And the presence of the enemy should change how we live in this world. The presence of a threat should change how we view the world. I'm a big sports guy. I love sports. I love how strategic it can be. I was at the baseball game yesterday, and we were swapping pitchers in depending on the situation that we needed them to be at. And we ended up winning off of one of our seniors, a base hit that got somebody in, so that's pretty exciting. They're going to the next round of the playoffs. That's awesome. But what's cool about sports is that they're super strategic, and they're consistently adjusting game plans. And this, before games, their opponents, they're going to scout their opponents. The teams are going to scout. They're going to know their strengths, their weaknesses, their best players. They're going to know how to attack their scheme. They're going to know their tendencies. They are prepared for what they're going to face in the game. Sun Tzu, which is the author of Art of War, says this, "If you do not know your enemy, in every battle you will suffer loss." So it's not just enough to know that we have our enemy. We have to know who our enemy is. So in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." In Ephesians 6:11, it says to put on the full armor of God that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So scripture identifies our enemy as Satan, the devil, our adversary, the person that is so against us. Before we go any further, I want us to have a reminder and a warning. And C.S. Lewis says it best in the Screwtape Letters. He says this, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence, and the other is to believe and feel an unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors." So C.S. Lewis is reminding us that we must neither ignore. We can't say that the devil doesn't exist, that there's not these evil forces that are going against what we are trying to do, that are trying to draw us and distract us away from God. But he also says, on the other hand, we can't go over here and we can't just obsess over him. We can't just stare at him the whole time, say everything is this, and just like focus in on them. So what must we do? We need to stay grounded in Christ and Scripture. So to do that, we must have a right view of who the devil is. So I'm going to run through a few things of who the devil is. First, the devil is a created being. That means that he is not equal to God. Not at all. God is omnipresent, meaning that he is present everywhere. The devil is not. He is not present everywhere. In fact, he's probably only present on one part of the earth, in one spot on the earth. God is omnipotent, meaning all powerful. the devil is not. God has all the power in the world, and Satan has none. Well, he has some, but not as much as God has, right? God is omniscient, all-knowing. The devil is not. Satan does not know all. Now, he knows a lot because he's been studying humans for a while, and he knows our pitfalls and things like that, but he does not know everything in this world. He can't know because he is a created being. So that also means that they are not locked in this battle that either can win. May the 4th is today, and so if you're a Star Wars fan, you're probably like, yeah, may the 4th be with you. But that is not like what we're in. God and Satan are not locked into this battle like Star Wars, where it's good versus evil, Jedi versus Sith. Not either one of them can win. That's not what's happening. It's not even an underdog story. Satan has no chance of winning. Satan is not an underdog. He is already defeated. There is no shot that Satan can win. Revelation 20 says that the devil will be cast into a lake of fire, and that will signify final victory over him. But for now, while we're waiting, he's still active, still deceiving, still dividing, distracting, and destroying. His goal is to make your relationship with Christ cold, distant, and unfruitful. That's his sole goal. Here's another thing about Satan. He also leads the rest of our enemies. He leads the rest of our enemies in the spiritual realm. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle with or wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." There's two things I want you to see here. First, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It is not against other people. It is not against humans. It is not against that person at work that you look at and you say, I do not like them. They are the person I most dislike. And it might not be against family members. The people that you might say, you know what, I do not want to be around at all. It is not against those people. It is a distraction that Satan uses to keep you distracted from what it's really against and where our battle's at. And the second point that we see is where our true battle is, and that is in the spiritual forces of evil. That's where our battle is. It's against Satan and his minions. It's against his army. It is not against people, but it is against Satan and his armies in the spiritual realm. And so how do we fight this battle? How do we stand against our adversary? How do we resist? Well, James says it this way, "Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So when we submit ourselves to God, then we start to see the things of God and we want to resist the devil, the things of death and destruction that lead us down those paths, and then he flees from us. So we're going to talk about some ways to resist today. The first is to resist through humility. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "To humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he might exalt you." So being humble is rightly seeing who we are in light of how great God is. It is saying, I know who I am. It is not saying, I think less of myself, but it's thinking of yourself less so you can think more about God. And so you are seeing rightly who you are in light of how big and how good God is. Verse 7 says, "Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." So Peter right now is showing us what it looks like to be humble. He's giving a charge to pray. And how do we do that? Well, we cast our concerns, we cast our anxieties, our worries, our burdens, our battles on him. And when we do that, we say, God, you are greater than all these things. I cannot do this in my own strength because I know who I am. I cannot fight this battle on my own, but I am casting it onto you, A, because I trust in who you are, but B, because you already have victory. So we resist by being humble. The second way we resist is through being watchful. Verse 8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Being watchful is knowing what's happening around you. If you were out in the wilderness and a lion were to roar, you would know the presence of the lion, right? And so you'd be on guard the whole time. That's what being watchful is. Here's two more things about the devil that Peter shows us. So this is who the devil is and how he operates in our world. So there's two things. It's a prowl and a roar. So roar, right? It's loud. It's obvious. Making a presence known. And Satan does that. The evil forces do that. They do it through things like war, things like hatred, death, blatant evil. When you look at something and you say, that is not of God, that is not good, that is a roar. He is letting you know the presence is there, that evil is there. But there's also another way he operates, which is a little bit more deadly because it's sneaky, and he prowls, which is move around restlessly and stealthily, especially in search of prey. It's subtle. It's quiet. It's like starting to believe those quiet lies that you hear that grow into pride, jealousy, bitterness, comparison. It's little things that take your attention and distract you from God, and I fall into this all the time. This is the place where my mind goes, because I sit there and I start believing those little lies, and I look and I don't look towards God. I look at those lies and I say, why is it this? Instead of saying, God, look how great you are. The little things will distract us from God's presence and looking at who God is. And so that's why we must be alert to both. So how do we be alert? How do we be ready? Well, Ephesians 6, 13 through 17 gives us the armor of God. I'm going to read two verses from that. The first one is verse 13. It says, therefore, so what's the therefore? Therefore, it's because of these evil forces, what we read earlier in verse 12, in light of the evil forces, in light that we know that we have this enemy who wants to destroy us, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm, right? So being watchful looks like taking up this armor, because if you know there's something out to get you, then you're going to protect yourself. So what is this armor of God? Well, first, it's the belt of truth. What is truth? It's the truth of the gospel. It's the truth that Jesus says who he is. It's our foundation that we believe. And it holds up the rest of this armor. Next, we have the breastplate of righteousness. It's not our own righteousness, but it's Christ's righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness that covers us. It's the imputed righteousness of Christ. It's the righteousness that we got through Christ's death on the cross. It's not our own doing, but it's the fact that Christ sacrificed his life, and so now we can be made righteous and seen as righteous in God's eyes. It's the shoes of peace, the readiness and perseverance that is rooted in the gospel. It's the shield of faith. This is week two of our series, Faith Over Fear. And so this is kind of the anchoring point of this, right? It's our faith in who Jesus says he is. It's our faith that we trust Jesus. And what does that do? It puts up a block for us. Not that the enemy's not going to attack, but it stops the attacks of the enemy, because we can replace them with the truth of the gospel, which is why the belt of truth is so important. It's the helmet of salvation, which is our confidence in Christ, knowing who he is, and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, our weapon to fight lies. Here's the thing. We must know the word. We can't just hear it from other people. We have to read it. We have to study it. We have to spend time in it daily. And not only that, we have to live it. When we know truth, we can start to spot lies, whether in what we believe or how we act. When we're watchful, we're ready to resist the devil's attacks and stand strong in the foundation of Christ. The next way to resist is to resist through community. So 1 Peter 5:9 says this, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. We stand firm in our faith with others around us, not in isolation, but recognize that others are facing similar battles to us, or they have faced similar battles as us. So in community, we get to find encouragement. We can share each other's burdens. We get to offer accountability to each other. And I love what some of our seniors said, is that in the context of these small groups that we have, that they were able to be pointed back to truth. They were able to be held accountable to what they believe. And when their actions didn't line up, they were lovingly called back. And that's why community anchors us. And that's why community is important. And not just any community, but Christian community. That's why we have groups here for every age, So if you're not in a group, get into a group. Seniors, as you go off into the next phase of life, make sure you find community that is Christian community and that is pushing you towards the things of God. After all, how can you know if you are deceiving yourself? That's the danger of deception. You can't. You can't see it. That's why you need others around you who love you and will lovingly call you back to truth. The last way we resist is through victory. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So for those of you that believe in Christ, for those of us who believe in Christ, there will be suffering. There will be battles. There will be things in our life that we face that want to pull us away from who God is. It's a promise. And Peter says, after we have been through this for a little while, in other places it says a light momentary affliction in comparison to the weight of glory. But Peter gives us a promise at the end. He says this, he reminds them of the victory that they already have in Christ. He says that the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ himself, will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So when the day comes, when we finally get to see Jesus, we're going to see him face to face in all of his glory. And we're going to say it was worth it. We're going to say everything that I went through on earth, it was worth it. And I don't know how long that is for us. I don't know if it's going to be a few weeks. I don't know if it's going to be for the rest of your life. I don't know how long your battle is. But what I do know is at the end, when we see Jesus, we're going to look him face to face. We're going to see his full unrevealed glory. And we're going to say, it was so worth it. And we're going to realize how great he is. And everything else will fade away. And our battle will already be won because we have trust in who he is. We will have victory, and we do have victory already. Every sports team that walks into a game knows their opponent. Sometimes I question the Dallas Cowboys with how often they lose, but I'm pretty sure they take time out of their week to prepare and to game plan. But here's the thing. They know their own weakness and strengths way more. They know how to beat themselves more than they know how to beat their opponent. They know where they struggle, where their weak spots are, and so what do? They know how to counteract that. Great teams know where they struggle, and they know who they are. So this is what I want to charge you with. Know your enemy, but also know yourself. Know your weaknesses. Know your shortcomings. Know the places that you are tempted. Know the places that you get so distracted with that it takes you away from the things of God. We have to fight. We have to. It's a battle. But here's the thing, is in this battle, we already have victory in Christ. We don't have to fight for victory, but we fight from victory. So we must rightly know who the enemy is to fight him. Yes, we are sinners. We are flawed. We are broken. But we are also redeemed, saved by the blood of Christ. Made new in Christ. Knowing we are his means humbling ourselves under his authority and trusting in his power to guide and sustain us. Despite what some may say, God allows us to face battles that we cannot handle on our own. He will give you absolutely bigger battles than what you can handle on your own. Why? Because if he didn't, then you would rely on your own strength the whole time. And you would never be able to see how strong God actually is. It's for his glory, not for ours. But what's so cool is that we know in the end who wins. That's why we don't fight for victory, but we fight from victory. The cross and the resurrection has already sealed the outcome. Christ has won. So stay rooted in truth. Don't let distractions pull you away from a deep and growing relationship with God. The enemy wants to destroy and distract you. But when you stay connected to Christ, you can stand firm. As you walk with him, you start to transform into more like his likeness. And your faith will silence the fear of the enemy because you know how the story ends. With Jesus in victory and you standing secure in him. Pray with me. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are good. Thank you for this group of seniors who are about to head out into the next phase of life, and thank you that we can launch them into that next phase of life. Thank you for how you have worked in their life this far. Lord, I pray for these seniors as they head out to wherever they're going, that they would fall more in love with you, more in love with who you are, and that when they face battles, that they wouldn't be distracted by those battles, but they would be able to lean into your power and your strength more. Father, I also pray for the rest of the people in this room and for me that as we live our life, that whenever schemes of the devil are thrown at us, lies, deception, destruction, that we are able to rightfully call out those. And we are able to lean into your power to see your glory at work more. And that ultimately we can rest in the fact that you have the final victory, that you have already won. And that we can be secure in that. So when we see you face to face, all this will be worth it. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.